is random chess. Have you started or have you succeeded already in popularizing this new game, Bobby?
No, I haven't done anything really. I tried to set up a match down in Argentina, but it got canceled. This Quinteros betrayed me and Eugene and canceled the match.
The
organizer betrayed us and canceled the match at the last minute.
So what do you plan to do about Fish Random now?
Well, I'd like to get a good offer for me to play it, or I'd like to see Eugene get a good offer. Any good offer, I'd like to see. It needs some financial sponsorship, you know.
Mm-hmm. You haven't had any offer yet so far?
No.
No,
this is all lies. The Jews, they were screaming for years, Fish is not playing chess. But as soon as I play chess, they warn me not to play or you're going to prison. And now it's the same thing with these interviews. They say, oh, Fisher doesn't want to talk to the media, he doesn't want to talk to the Greek. Now I'm willing to talk. It turns out it was all a bluff. They never wanted to talk to me all along.
That's all. Okay. I was shown by Eugene a copy of your original book, My 60 Memorable Games.
Yeah.
He also showed me a copy of another edition, which is basically the same, but, you know, I noticed there's so many changes there, and they tried to, change some of the analysis that you had. Is this what you were talking about previously?
I think I may have mentioned that. Yeah, Baxford has come out with a new pirated edition of My 60 Memorable Games. It's called Baxford's New Algebraic Edition of My 60 Memorable Games, supposedly written by Bobby Fischer, and it's falsified from cover to cover.
Yes.
Absolutely unbelievable falsification. Even changing my variations.
That's right. I noticed that.
Yeah.
And Eugene showed me some changes there. I think that's despicable.
Yeah, it is. One variation they changed, I gave the right analysis, the correct winning line.
Yes.
They changed what I wrote into an illegal variation in my game with Bobo Chan.
Yes.
Just to make me look like a fool.
Yes.
And that's only one example of countless. You know, you could go. They went through every line of that book looking for ways to screw me. The Jews are utterly vicious bastards.
All right. Okay.
This was a Jewish book. If you look at the people who rewrote the book, you look at the copyright page at the bottom, they gave the name of five people. Three of them are known to be Jews, and the other two, I'm sure, are Jews too. But three of them are known to be Jews. Dvoretsky's a Jew, Keane is a Jew, and Spielman is a Jew. They're known to be Jews. There's no question about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it'll come out that Nunn and Burgess are also Jews. But three out of five, that's enough. That's already a majority. Are absolutely known to be Jews. And I'm sure the owners of Batsford are also Jewish. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if Batsford isn't secretly owned by this Sumner Murray Redstone, either directly through Viacom or perhaps through Macmillan Publishing Company.
All right. Here's another question. It was written down by our newsroom. I think it's from one caller. And it says here, Gary Kasparov has finally overtaken your ELO rating. What can you say about that?
Who said this?
One of our listeners here just had it written down.
Well, there was an article that was published in Ocho por Ocho, that's a Spanish magazine from Spain.
Yes.
And they said about my rating, if my rating, going back to the 70s, was adjusted for inflation, it would be at least 2,900.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah.
2,900?
Huh?
It's 2,900, you said? That would be your rating.
The article said, if my rating, which is like about 2,780 or whatever, were adjusted to take account the inflation of the rating points that has transpired in the last 25 years or so,
yes.
20 years it was back. This is an article about 1992. If my rating would be at least 2,900, which is a lot higher than Kasparov's. But in any event, that's not important, Pablo, because the point is, I got my rating honestly. All my games are real. I've never even pre-arranged a draw. The Jews have nothing on me. That's why they hate me so damn much, because I'm clean. Kasparov got his fantastic rating by prearranging almost all of his games. See?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But as far as games with Karpov and prearranged, all of his games, all of these Russian Jews are all prearranged. He's a crook on a gigantic scale. You know, Eugene could have the highest rating in the world, too, if he would prearrange all his games.
Can you explain how they do this? I mean, how do they prearrange the maps to make it appear that they have a high rating?
Well, they have an entire organization, a Jewish organization, just prearranges games. I believe he spent years developing a chess computer. But then he never made this chess computer public. He never played any games with it. I believe what he was really developing was a computerized system of prearranging games. Of inventing games.
Yes.
You can prearrange games now at unbelievably fast speed. It used to be a very tedious, hard process to prearrange a realistic-looking game. Now you can prearrange a game, I think, you know, in a matter of minutes or, you know, they can prearrange a whole tournament, I think, in a few hours or days now with this high-tech computer technology.
Well, how do you look at Deep Blue then?
Deep Blue plays very well, yeah. I think that match that Kasparov played Deep Blue was a genuine match.
Really?
Yeah. What did everybody say about Kasparov's play? Ask anybody about that his play. If you read all the stories, everyone said Kasparov was unrecognizable. Unrecognizable. Why was he unrecognizable? Because it was a real match. His moves were not prearranged. That's why he was unrecognizable.
If you were judging
the Kasparov that you think you know, you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
The Kasparov you think you know is the Kasparov is playing all these prearranged moves, these prearranged games.
If you were there to play with that computer, would you do it?
I would play it Fischer Random Chess.
Fischer Random.
Yeah.
Oh, why so?
If there was a good offer, I would play a Fischer Random Chess. Sure.
Against Deep Blue.
Yeah.
Really? And you're not afraid about that?
No, I'm not afraid, no. Why should I be afraid? The worst could happen if you lose.
All right. But you'll be playing against a machine. Quicker in response than a human being.
Yeah, but I think with Fischer Random Chess, the strategy is much more complex. The great strength, one of the great strengths, I won't say the only great, but one of the very great strengths of the computers they have an enormous opening library.
Mm-hmm.
And they can get a really good opening, generally speaking, and the opening is the hardest part of the game.
Yes.
But they can get a good opening because they're drawing on millions and billions of hours of human manpower that has developed these openings over a couple of centuries, you see? They're getting the benefit of intensive study by millions of chess players all over the world for 200 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you take that all away from the computer, put the computer on its own, on the openings, I think the computer will have trouble because the computer's great strength is calculation, but there's not really very much to calculate the first few moves of the game. It's a very high level of strategy, you know?
Yes.
And this is, maybe the computer's up, maybe the computer is up to it, but I'm not sure it's up to it at all yet. This is really artificial intelligence, the early part of the game. Once you get out of the opening, and the pieces start to make some kind of contact, that is, there are threats, and there's defense, then the game starts to play itself. And then the computer is tremendous, because it can calculate, you know, unbelievably well. But in the early moves of the game, where it's really high-level intelligence is involved, where there's no immediate threat, but you have to combine what you perceive may be threats in the distant future with your early positional moves. You're combining tactics and positional chess. It's really, it takes a lot of thinking and a lot of intelligence, I believe. I don't think it's so cut and dried like the old chess. I believe if I were to play Deep Blue with Fischer Random Chess, I'd get very good openings.
Mm-hmm.
And once I get a good opening, I'm pretty tough.
Yeah.
The computer will find that out.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, Pablo, computers are, you know, are getting better every day, and they're getting more intelligent, and they're getting programmed, so I don't guarantee anything, but I believe I could take it. I believe I could saw of his play in his last match with Kasparov.
Uh-huh.
Maybe they've improved it a lot. I don't know. I believe I can take it into your random chess. Mm-hmm. If it plays at the level it played against Kasparov.
That would be interesting to see, to find out if ever there will be a
No, they're not interested. All these big American corporations are owned by dirty Jews, Pablo. They really want to put me in prison, you know.
Okay.
My only interest the United States has in me is to rob everything I've worked for all my life, insult me, humiliate me, put me in jail. That's the only interest that the Jew control the United States has in me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, Barry, this is Eugene.
Yeah, hi, Eugene.
Yeah, even you were mentioning to me, you forgot even to mention your medal, you know, when you became world champion.
Oh, right, my FIDE medal, they robbed my FIDE medal, the gold medal, and I engraved my name on the back of it. I'm sure that'll make the new owner very happy. Now he's got my World Chess Championship 1972 medal with my name engraved on the back of it. How much is that worth? A fortune. Also, I don't think we mentioned this wooden telephone. Did we mention that wooden telephone?
No, you have not mentioned it. No.
Yeah, when I played in Havana in 1965, that was, you know, the Cold War and so on. I was invited to play in the Capablanca Memorial Tournament down there.
I wasn't allowed to
go by the State Department, you know?
Yeah.
Because they said, of course, nowadays I would have said to hell with the State Department. I would have gone anyway. But in those days, I was still a good boy. So I didn't go. I played by telephone. I was in the Marshall Chess Club in New York City, and I was sending down my moves. I was making the moves on the board, and then somebody would telegraph the moves down to, or phone the moves down to Havana. And they would make their moves down there and phone it up and so on. I was sitting at the board, but there was nobody opposite me, you see?
Anyway, I
tied for second in that tournament. Anyway, after the tournament, they sent me some memorabilia, but like a very nice wooden telephone. It was from the Cuban telecommunications company and also from the organizers of the tournament.
Wow.
And it had the signature of all the players in wood. A carved wooden telephone with the signature of all the players in wood. Absolutely unique. You know, a lot of those players have passed on already. Geller just died recently and so on. And that's where that's robbed too. And I used to love to just look at that, just to have it on the table, you know.
It had a nice
plaque. It said, you know, to Bobby Fischer for his participation in the tournament and so on. So I guess some Jew is a proud new owner of it. You got it, like, I guess for like a dollar or whatever, because, you know, the safe, I assume, costs like $2. This wooden thing, maybe a dollar. Letter from President Nixon, maybe 50 cents. Letter from President Marcos, 50 cents. But, you know.
I don't know what I'm going to say
50 cents. I think more like maybe a fraction of a penny. This stuff in there is worth uncountable millions. So how the hell are they going to auction this off for $480? You know, outrageous. Even like gold coins, silver coins, and paper money in there, just the face value of this stuff was worth more than $480. The face value, the real value of all these coins and paper money is in the thousands of dollars. Because, you know, a gold coin, even if it says $20, is worth at least $300 if that's how much gold is in it, you see?
Wow, I'm sure you still have many personal belongings that you have failed to remember.
If I were to go through this, it's just enormous. I had tons of the beautiful Mariani custom-made suits that I had been photographed playing in. Just those suits are worth a fortune, too, because there's lots of pictures of me playing in them, you know. Just everything. Beautiful magnetic chess sets that you can't get anymore, made out of leather, and all kind of stuff. I mean, you know, just tons and tons of personal items and letters from my mother and all my fan mail. And two large file cabinets jammed full of documents. As you can imagine how much that is. These are big, heavy-duty file cabinets, And one of the file cabinets had a secret safe built into it. Besides, on the first drawer. This is besides the other safes, the standalone safe, the 2,000 pound safe. I had a second secret safe in there, too.
Yeah. Okay, Bob.
And they said, don't open this door. They said, this is not even a, this, you know, if stuff is robbed from you, it's legally still yours, right?
Yeah.
They said, this is not a robbery. This has legally changed hands for $480. Everything I worked for 30 years, all this stuff, has legally changed hands, including my contract.
Mm-hmm.
So they can rob me and rip me off, including everything imaginable is in there, is legally checked. If I were to see this stuff in somebody's house, and I were to grab it, I presumably, he'd have a right to shoot me in the back as I run out the door, right? Because it's his.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah, okay. Bobby, this is...
The Jews are thieves, they are filthy rats, they are ritual murderers, they are the worst bastards. They are the exact opposite of what everybody thinks they are. They made up the Holocaust for money. There was no Holocaust. They're filthy liars. They're the worst people in the world. They kill children. They kill grown-ups for their blood. They ritually murder people, and they're doing it today.
All right.
They are Satanists. Jews are absolute garbage. I say this, and I'll keep repeating it.
Okay. You've made your point. This is Pablo now.
Yeah.
All right. We still have several minutes to go, anyway. Somebody said to ask your comment on the styles of present chess players in the world. Do you think, who do you think is a worthy opponent for you?
Well, first of all, he said chess, but I don't play chess anymore. I play Fischer Random now.
All right.
So we have to distinguish between Fischer Random and chess.
Let's talk of chess.
I'm through with chess.
Oh, okay, all right. Disregard the second. But what is your comment on the styles of present chess players then in the world?
Well, I don't follow it that closely, but the cheating is fantastic. This I can tell you.
Mm-hmm.
So the prearrangement is just out of this world now. You know, a filthy Jew by the name of Yasser Serawan, I was reading in his book called The No Regrets, and we had a little section where he's kind of ridiculing my claims that almost everything is prearranged nowadays, you know.
Yeah.
And he made up a phony conversation between me and him, which never took place. But in any event, his basic doctrine theory is, yes, in Fischer's time, when he talks about Fischer's time, he's referring to the 70s, but not to now, apparently.
All right.
Even though I just reached back here in 92. Let me take a minute. He's saying, when Fischer was the best chess player in the world, the Russians cheated a lot. Because they had to cheat. Because he was the best. That was the only way they could do well, you see? But now that Fischer's out of the picture, the Russian Jews don't have to cheat. Because they're the best. Why should they cheat? So now there's much less cheating than before. Absolute lie and a reversal of the truth. Because the point is, there's much more cheating now because it's much easier to cheat. It's much easier to prearrange a game with the computer technology, you see? It's 10,000 times easier to prearrange a game today than it was 30 years ago, 25 years ago.
Okay.
That's the key point. That's why prearrangement is just totally dominating chess now.
All right, Bobby, just for a while, I have to read this. Barangay DCXX Bombo Radio. Lahat ng mga gandang balita, public service, at kung ano-anong happening sa inyong barangay. Kita-kita na lang po tayo. Maganda ito. And let's get back to Bobby. Bobby, we're just about 5 minutes to go. Alright, I have to explain.
Yeah.
Here in the Philippines, almost all chess players who ever competed have studied your moves and that you remain at their idol. And some are even wishing that if you given a chance, would you want to visit the country? Do you have anything to say to them?
Yeah, sure. I love the Philippines. I consider the Filipinos to be very special people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just very interesting to be there because of the humor, the quickness of mind, you know.
Not like
and
the Jews.
And not just that, no, and the emphasis on the human side, you know,
mm-hmm.
which is totally lacking in the Jew-controlled United States.